The Olympic finals for surfing are happening tomorrow in Japan. As NPR's Mandalit Del Barco reports, it's a new sport for the Olympics with roots that run deep.
At Surigasaki Beach, 40 miles from Tokyo, the Olympic surfers are riding the big waves ahead of a tropical storm.
It's going to provide surfing the head high to even overhead range during the morning hours.
Kurt Korte is the official surf forecaster for the Olympics. He works for Surfline, a company in Huntington Beach, California, that sends out live surf reports around the world, like this latest from Japan.
But the incoming tide push over the afternoon does look to provide a lot of fun waves.
Korte says it may rain, but it should be a great day of surf at the Olympics. Since ancient times, people have surfed the ocean in one form or another, but modern surfing, riding waves atop a board for fun, became popular near the start of the 20th century in Hawaii. Getting surfing to the Olympics was a dream of Hawaiian Duke Kahanamoku more than a century ago. Decades before Hawaii became a U.S. state, he earned 5 Olympic medals in swimming, starting in 1912. Kahanamoku had grown up surfing with his brothers in Waikiki.
Hi, surfers. Aloha. This is it.
Here's Kahanamoku on CBS TV in the 1960s.
I've always been curious, Duke. Was it more of a thrill for you to win those Olympic Games or ride some of those giant waves at Castle Surf I know you used to ride?
Oh, they're pretty, both are quite thrilled, but I think the surfing is much more, to me, the greatest thrill of my life.
Tall, with broad shoulders and a big smile, Kahanamoku promoted surfing as he traveled the world, even making a few cameos in the movies. There's a statue of Duke Kahanamoku in Huntington Beach, California. It's one of the Southern California surf spots that made its way into pop culture in the 1950s and 60s. During novelty exhibitions years ago, surfers on long boards would lift bikini-clad partners like pair figure skaters. And there were always surfing contests, says former pro surfer Matt Warshaw, who now curates the online Encyclopedia of Surfing.
There's a lot of competition that goes on in the water, from wanting to be better than the surfer next to you or wanting to do better than you did the last time you surfed, or just competition for waves because the resource is so limited. But it's a tricky one when it comes down to gathering people together and sending them out and trying to figure out who wins.
Warshaw says formal competitions like the Olympics don't exactly match surfing's endless summer meditative chill vibe.
Instead of heading out there and finding a great wave, you have to surf when somebody else tells you. And the idea is almost opposite of what most people surf for.
Warshaw says unlike most other Olympic sports, so much of surfing depends on Mother Nature. San Onofre Beach, north of San Diego, is one of the local breaks for 19-year-old Caroline Marks. She's been surfing since she was 3 years old. Now, along with Carissa Moore from Hawaii, Marks is surfing at the Tokyo Olympics.
It's super surreal and incredible and, like, pretty amazing, so I'm stoked.
Mark says at the Olympics, she'll try to maintain her cool.
I guess I'm just thinking about the next wave, and that's kind of it. It's so special to be in the ocean. You're just, like, just living in the moment, I guess, so it's pretty cool.
But you're living in the moment, but you're also competing at the same time.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think when you think less, it's almost better, at least for myself, you know. If I kind of just do it and just kind of go with the flow, that's when I do my best.
Surfer Kolohe Andino from San Clemente, California, is also at the Olympics. He described his strategy for winning.
Honestly, I want to compete like a savage beast, relentless and, yeah, ready to rip heads off.
Gnarly or chill, these Olympic surfers are hoping for some sick waves. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News, Tokyo.